If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the show, Crystal Beth. Hello, Crystal.
Hello, I'm here.
Returning guest for the holiday season.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, I haven't watched Third Rock from the Sun in forever, so this was a treat.
This is the third week. This is part three of the Holiday Gauntlet Christmas, the big show, the big holiday we've all been waiting for. What is your history with Christmas? How do you feel about it?
So Christmas has never really been a huge holiday for my family. We celebrate it because one must.
But culturally demanded.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was a holiday that we all got together, and I used to work in Rock Center. So for the last 4 years, it's just been me hating everything about Christmas that's ever existed because all it does is ruin my life for a month and a half. But I work downtown now, so I don't have to worry about that tree, which is a beautiful tree.
Oh, it's my favorite thing.
If it didn't bring in all of the worst, because the thing is that everyone comes and everyone, and I work at a restaurant.
Yeah.
So everyone comes in and everyone's super excited about the holiday, but everyone's on vacation and everyone thinks they're the most important person because they are on vacation.
Yeah.
And they're not.
In New York City.
Because they expect this movie, this whole, movie-themed life when they get here.
Yeah.
But now that I'm downtown, it's so chill. It's really quiet. And Brookfield Place is beautiful.
Not as many tourists,
probably. Yeah, exactly.
Because I now work across the street from the tree. So I work at the Rockefeller Street stop. I am lucky, though, that the subway opens up into my building, so I never have to go outside. I can just go straight up to my building, and then there's a lot of restaurants in the area that I like in the complex that I can just go to. I don't ever really have to go outside and mess with it. Although I did go and look at the tree last night, and it is insane, but it's still my happy place.
Yeah,
it's just my beautiful spot.
I love being there because
Christmas
is pretty.
Obviously, we are recording this right before my Christmas party.
No.
You're in a Star Wars Christmas sweatshirt.
I am.
I'm dressed like Christmas F. Tompkins. I am every year. So, I love Christmas. This is a very Christmassy episode. And it's very appropriate that we are talking about this week on the show. We're traveling to December 15th, 1996. Jerry Maguire rolled the box office. Unbreak My Heart by Tony Braxton topped the charts. And NBC aired the third Rock from the Sun episode, Jolly Old St. Dick. Crystal Beth, you must have seen Jolly Old St. Dick before.
I have seen it before.
What was your history with third Rock from the Sun?
So third Rock from the Sun was on right when there was a sliver of time where my family had TV.
Oh.
So I grew up without a lot of television shows. I was able to watch it at my dad's, but at my mom's, we just had movies. So we didn't have cable or any, even the basic channel, because we didn't have an antenna.
Oh, man.
But my mom wasn't a TV watcher, and there was a period of time, I think maybe from 95 to, or I guess 95 on.
Yeah.
That was when we first started getting,
debuted January 96.
Yeah, so that was when we got cable. And I don't remember what was on before it, But I remember the first time I saw it, a show I was watching ended.
Yeah.
And that one started, and I was like, who are these grown-ups?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that boy's, like, a little cute. I kind of like him. And
Mr.
I started
Joseph
watching.
Gordon-Levitt.
So
yeah,
so
I was...
So funny.
This was, like, there's, like, the legion... There's, like, the generation of shows that I discovered with my parents, and I watched them with my parents, which was, like, Friends and Seinfeld and ER... And Home Improvement and, like, all those, like, the family shows.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, the generation of shows just after that that were my shows. Like, News Radio and Third Rock from the Sun were my shows. My parents didn't watch them. I watched them. And I was obsessed with Third Rock from the Sun in middle school. I had a t-shirt. It was black, and it had Fritz Stewart Harry in the middle of it. He was hunched over with his hands side, like, on each side of his head, and it said... And, like, had, like, these, like, radio-like pink waves coming out of him. And it said, like, incoming message from the big giant head around it. And then I also had a Third Rock from the Sun, like, the guide to Earth that they wrote back to the big giant head. They had, like, they released that.
Oh, that's cool.
As a companion book. Because TV shows used to do this fun, like, companion books. Back before there was the internet, if you wanted, like, an episode guide and, like, interviews and stuff, you had to buy these fun, sometimes in-universe companion-y things. So I had one of those, and that came with a Third Rock from the Sun mobile. So I had that hanging from my ceiling.
Wow. Oh my gosh, you said mobile.
Mobile.
I assumed cell phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, it came with a cell phone in 96? That's
like,
crazy.
That's expensive.
Everything came with a mobile.
Yeah.
I had so many things from different books and stuff that just hanging around my room.
But like Third Rock from the Sun was my jam. For like the first, I don't know, 2 or 3 years it was on.
Yeah.
And so like getting to revisit it is just...
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt get his hair cut on the show. I remember when that happened, and I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, he got it cut. I feel like it was, like, season 3. I think it was seasons 1 and 2. He has the long, looks like a girl, as he is made fun of in this episode by a Santa Claus. But yeah, this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're going to be talking about the Third Rock from the Sun episode, Jolly Old Saint Dick. It is the 12th episode of season 2. It was written by Bill Martin and Mike Schiff, and directed by Robert Berlinger. Here's how Amazon describes the episode, Buckle Up. The Solomons experience their first Christmas. Dick is disillusioned, but finally gets into the Christmas spirit. Sally lands a job wrapping presents at the mall. Harry takes a job as a mall Santa's assistant and discovers that he isn't the real Santa. Tommy tries to find the perfect present for August, and Albright gets drunk on rum balls. Crystal, how accurate does that describe the episode?
It's pretty perfect.
That is literally the entire episode.
That's the whole thing.
We don't actually need to discuss the plot of the episode, because that is almost beat for beat everything that happens.
Yep. That's a sign of a good episode, though. Simple, to the point, all the good stuff you're able to get out. The only thing that's not in that synopsis is the drawing of the Secret Santa name.
Right.
Which is my favorite part of
the
entire episode. It's so funny.
For work, my work at Decider.com, which everyone should be checking out, because there's a lot of good Christmas sitcom stuff right there, plug. I have been doing a Christmas sitcom advent calendar, so every day leading up to Christmas, I recommend another Christmas episode. I think this episode is actually coming up, or will be up by the time this is posted. And then I'm also doing a Christmas sitcom flowchart, which, depending on what tropes you want to see in your Christmas episode, it will lead you to the perfect one to watch.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
So for this project, I watched about 60 different sitcom Christmas episodes.
Damn.
And while watching them, I was keeping track of the Christmas tropes that are in every single one of them. And I came up with like 20 different tropes, maybe like 25 different tropes. And this episode is notable because it has 15 of them.
Wow.
Which is the most. It beats out Full House is a Very Tanner Christmas and Family Matters is We Wish You a Merry Winslow Christmas.
Wow.
Which both had 14 tropes in it. This one edged them out. So I thought to discuss the episode, we can just go through all 15 tropes.
Yeah, man, I miss the naming of episodes.
Yeah.
The naming of episodes were so good.
Nowadays,
in the
90s. A lot of things are like chapter 1, chapter 2, or like they're really hard to track down. So I love, you know, this one's called Jolly Old Saint Dick, which is great. Because every single Third Rock from the Sun episode is a dick pun.
Yeah.
That's their title. So the first trope is this episode is all about Christmas. Because that is not a given. Sometimes a Christmas episode, the Christmas is like the B plot or the
C
plot.
Like Die Hard.
Yes. Exactly. That's another article I have up at Decider, which is don't at me. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It is a movie set at Christmas.
Yep.
And I get angry. But yeah, this episode is all about Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Because every single part of this episode is just drenched in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
All four
it's
of them.
Sticky in it.
Yeah, it's just like a bunch of candy canes and snow. Like,
yep.
Because let's go through. All four of them have Christmas plots.
Mm-hmm.
Dick has a Secret Santa plot. Harry gets a job as an elf. Sally gets a job as a gift wrapper. And Tommy is trying to find the perfect gift last minute. So it's like,
yep,
all about Christmas. Did you feel like there was too much Christmas? Or
no. No, I mean, when it comes to... Sometimes, it's like exactly what you said with how some episodes don't have a lot of Christmas in them at all.
Yeah.
I want to be... Because while I'm someone that's like, oh yeah, Christmas is a thing, when I want to watch a Christmas thing, I want to be sticky in it.
Yeah.
Like, I want everything about it to be Christmas. It. Right. Which is why I, too, don't think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I like to joke about it, but no. It just happens to be set... It's like...
Set at Christmas.
Yeah. Like, you can remove set at Easter or something.
You can all the... Same with Batman Returns, same with Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. It goes on and on. So the second Christmas trope is decorating outdoors. Because the first thing we see is Dick and Miss Dubcek, like, lighting out the... They're, like, coming inside because they've, like, attached all these lights to outdoors. And yeah. He turns it on.
Turning on Christmas lights is the best. That first feeling of plugging it in.
Yeah.
And you don't know if they're going to turn on or not.
That's why...
something wrong.
You gotta test them first.
Yeah.
Like, this year we unpacked all of our Christmas stuff, and I plugged in three light strands. I was like, these aren't working, so chuck them immediately.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't shove them on our tree.
I remember when we used to... So we had those, the big, cloudy Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah.
So the ones where there was, like, a foot of space in between all of them.
Yeah.
And we just decorated, we had a cape, so we decorated just, like, the face of the roof of the house and the face of the house. It looked like a little gingerbread house.
Oh.
It was so pretty. But it was my job to go through and find the bulb that wasn't working because we had the same lights for...
Oh, God.
I want to say 10 years. And what we did was we, instead of just stapling them to the roof, they were already on long pieces of wood that were the length of our roof. So we just slid the wood
That's
up on
smart.
The roof and clamped it on. That way we didn't have to worry about taking them down and put them up. And it was just easy.
That's a whole process.
But checking those bulbs
That's
was...
That's a nightmare.
It was a nightmare, but... Because I associated with, like, Christmas with my family, I got excited when I was able to do that. I was like, oh, it's time to check the bulbs. And they were like, all right, that weirdo little girl is going to go to the thing we all hate. But yeah, check the lights first.
Yeah.
And then throw
them
away.
So there's no disaster with this. They, like, plug it in, and then Miss Dubcek is like, I want them to be able to see me from the space shuttle or whatever. But that's all we see of Miss Dubcek.
Yeah.
She's not in the rest of the episode.
Well, the end.
She's at the end.
Yeah. But everyone's even the Santas are at the end.
Yeah. I was really hoping we'd get some Jan Hooks, because her daughter is played by Jan Hooks, and she is so great.
Yeah.
She's in the Thanksgiving episode from this season, and it's like a fantastic tour de force.
I can't remember the Thanksgiving from that season.
The third Christmas trope in this episode is a tree disaster. So Harry comes home. Harry comes home at the beginning of the episode with, like, basically the Charlie Brown tree that he even says, like...
Look what I got. A stick?
No! It's a Christmas tree! You'll see. All it needs is a little love.
And it has a little red bulb on the top.
Yeah, just like Charlie Brown. And everyone else is like, what's up with that stick? Like, everyone's making fun of it. the tree disaster comes when they all do, like, a group hug. And you hear, like, a...
Crack.
A snap.
Yep.
And then they look at it, and it's just, oh, now it's just a stick.
Now it's just a stick.
Aw, poor Harry. Who is your favorite of the four of them?
Honestly, it changes through as I got older, even with the show.
Yeah.
It changed. Dick was always someone that I was like, oh, okay, whatever about, because I identified more with Tommy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I always loved Tommy. And then Sally, I was like, oh, Sally's pretty cool too. But watching Third Rock from the Sun within my last 10 years of life, I'm obsessed with Dick. He's so funny. He's perfect.
He's a character that you like more, I think, the older you get. I think because as a kid, it's like, he's the old man. I don't like it. Because Harry, I loved Harry. Give me a weirdo. Like, Gonzo is my favorite Muppet. Like, obviously, Harry is my favorite member of this cast.
Harry, the problem with Harry with me was that his face made my eyes hurt.
Oh, because he was always
scrunching.
Yeah.
So I wasn't comfortable watching him. I think he's hilarious. I think he's so funny. But the scrunched eyes, even as a kid, I was like,
open up.
Feel it. I was like, how are you doing that with your face?
I think
that
it's
much?
More, it's pretty natural because he's kind of like that. Never, I think he accentuates it a lot in Third Rock, but any other time you see him, his eyes are pretty squinty.
Yeah.
So just how he's, it's how he sees the world.
Yeah.
The fourth Christmas trope in this episode is a mistletoe joke.
Yep.
A runner, a mistletoe joke runner. It goes out throughout. Because every time Dick goes to his office, the mistletoe is hanging, and he keeps thinking it's a weed. And he's like, oh, the root must be high up.
That's so funny. The root must be upstairs, is that what he said? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And he's so tall.
Yeah.
And I love when tall people's heads rub against things in movies and shows and stuff. I don't know why. Maybe because I don't experience it.
Yeah.
But when he's like looking around and he can feel it on his head, it still makes me laugh. I'm like, hee hee, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's it repeats three times, and at the end, very end of it, he finally learns what mistletoe is.
Mm-hmm.
Because him and Mary are standing under it, and they finally, like, kiss. He's like, what's this for? He's like, it's mistletoe.
That weed grew back again.
It's mistletoe.
Mistletoe?
Yeah.
Well, what's it for?
Oh, I'll show you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. But what's the mistletoe for?
Dick!
And he's like, oh, and then he kisses her, and then, like, she lunges at him.
Yep.
And then she, like, he like, hoists her up.
Well, he shrinks way down.
Yeah.
Like, he shrinks down to her height, and then as he's kissing, he, like, stands up a little bit more and pulls her up with him, and it's so cute!
Yeah.
It's such a good kiss, and that's just something that John Lithgow is just so good with his body.
Yeah.
And knowing how it's gonna look when he's doing anything. And it's a, because that's not how a person kisses.
No.
You don't shrink down to the person and then stand up and uncurl with them. But it looks great.
I also, we could talk about Mary real quick. Because like Jane Curtin, this is the first time I ever knew who Jane Curtin was this show. And then later as I got older, I realized, oh, she was an original member of the SNL cast.
Yeah.
Like, she's a legend.
I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know that growing up when I was watching it either. And I don't think it was, because I didn't watch SNL often at all when I was younger. And
no.
I think it was, I want to say I was in college when I saw old clips from SNL and I was like, oh.
That's where she comes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she's not just an actor or actress that played this part. She was on SNL.
A fucking, like, SNL original. Like, part of, like, the three original, like, bad girls of SNL. And I love, like, you read that oral history of SNL book, and she's always one of those, like, I went home. Like, everyone else is like, we just stood at the offices and did coke and, like, fucked each other. She's like, I was married and I went home.
Yep.
And then she would get mad at anyone else that would, like, make fun of her for that. She was like, I'm doing my job. She's so straightforward. And then she also had a sitcom in the 80s called Kate and Allie that lasted 5 to 7.
Really?
Like, it also, like, broke the 100-episode barrier. So this was her second successful sitcom, and no one really talks about her enough, I think.
And I love how real she is just in this. She's, like, unapologetic about everything about her.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So the fifth one, which is your favorite, is the Secret Santa. We get a Secret Santa plot in this.
Ugh.
Which that scene of them coming in and like explaining to Dick like what Secret Santa is.
Secret Santa's hard.
That like
I give it away all the time. Oh, I'm so bad at it.
Well, there's so many variations on it too, because there's like the variation where it is like you just get them a shit ton of gifts peppered throughout a couple of weeks, which seems like that's too much.
I've never heard of that, and I would like to play that, but only getting the gifts and not
giving
them. Yeah,
that's too much work. I get, like, the one where you, like, draw names and you buy them one gift.
Right.
And that's, like, cool, that's easy.
Yeah.
But, I'm, like, because Dick says in this episode, like,
from now until the party, their life will be a topsy-turvy labyrinth of mystery and intrigue.
But he's drawing out all the names, and he ends up landing on
Judith.
Because he starts putting them back.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want them. Like, no, you have to just draw one. And he gets it. And then, like, the way that he, like, is so blatant about it.
That is my favorite part. When he, like, puts his hand down and he turns and looks at her and he's got his, like, chin all the way back and he's like, they'll never know who I have. And then he sits and he's like, oh, that's when he's like, oh, the crazy topsy-turvy whirlwind maze of feelings and emotions and presents. And he, like, snaps the paper at her.
So good.
And he's...
And she's like, thanks, like, please, I beg you, let him draw again. And then he pops it in his mouth. He pops the paper in the mouth and eats it. It's just some great It's a great little moment.
It's so funny, and it's such a little kid move, too.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, all four of them are really good at playing aliens as people.
Yeah.
Because all four of them are just these heightened, weird versions that don't make... Like, they're obviously aliens to us because we know they're aliens.
Right.
It's a very, like, weirdly broad but nuanced performance, yeah. I feel.
It's fun to watch them because it reminds me of all the kids. Like, I used to nanny for a long time, and having all the little kids around Christmas was always so much fun. And these adults show the same weird joy as they do, even though it's a confusing joy because they don't know what is going on. And to get excited about wrapping presents, oh my gosh. I had John wrap the presents for here because I was like, and they're square.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I'm a huge present wrapper. I love it.
Mine don't look good. It looks
so
bad.
The sixth trope in this episode is Mall Santa and Mall Elves. So we get Harry working as a mall elf and Santa. We can talk about both these because the other trope that is in there is Santa believers.
Uh-huh.
So these tropes are combined because Harry is a mall elf that actually does believe in Santa. And I think all of them believe in Santa
because
they're all aliens. And why wouldn't they?
And they get upset by it, too.
Yeah.
They're like, what? Tell me how this works.
That is the fun. Harry's plot in this I do love because when he, like, goes back to, like, Santa needs to take a break. And he goes back there and then, like, Santa, like, takes off all the stuff and he just, like...
Oh, Santa. What are you... I mean, it's... You...
That's great. And then later, he's at that bar drinking and, like, like getting shot glasses of eggnog.
Yeah. It looks like just milk.
Oh, am I just eating
milk? I think it's just milk.
Oh, because he says fat-free.
Yeah.
He's like, two fingers.
Two fingers. Nah, no fat.
Is that how people order things at your restaurant?
I had one person ever order something two fingers.
Oh.
And they just said two fingers, and I was like, whiskey?
Of what?
Scotch? Water? What do you want? Yeah.
Are you Harry?
Milk? Are you Harry right now?
So in that episode, he's like talking about how he was going to like go work at the North Pole. Like he was, you know, ready to just commit. And over his shoulder, Santa walks in. He sees and he gets like, he starts accosting him. And the second one walks in. He's like,
whoa. And he's like laughing about it. Kind of. He's like,
weird.
What?
And then he backs up into a third one, turns around. And it's a really, honestly, like people shit on French Stewart because he's done a lot of, like, direct-to-VOD, like, he was, like, the Inspector Gadget after Matthew Broderick quit.
Right.
Not had the great career after this. Also, he's the most obvious, like, cheesy character on the show. But his performance in this moment, I legitimately love.
It's funny.
Because he backs up.
Real.
He has this, like, terror, like, bah! Like, scream, beat, turns around, sees the other two, scream again.
Oh, mind you. Whoa. Wait a second. But you...
Is there a problem?
And then full body, like, tumbling run to the door.
And he spreads out his arms perfectly, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's, again, it comes down to an actor that knows their body. And he can't see himself, but he knows that if he's like this, it's going to look great.
That's the thing. All four of them are all such good physical comedians. Because Sally's plotline isn't really covered in the tropes, so we can talk about her plotline being a gift wrapper in the mall. I love the, like, big, brassy... Because she's, like, the military expert that's been shoved in this body, and so much of the comedy comes from her having to, like, navigate through, like, social expectations of a woman and stuff.
Yeah.
And this episode, she's like, shopping is awesome, and Christmas is ruining it, and she's getting...
I know.
It's such a great... Like, the way that she gets so angry about her job, like, I have to say the whole thing! Like, don't leave!
She, like yells it as they're going away.
And her plotline culminates in basically her, like, yelling at a kid for getting his mom a dirt devil or something.
Yeah.
How nice. The gift that keeps on sucking.
And so then she's like, here, give her this. And starts handing off. She starts like mixing up all the presents. Which is a great...
It's so funny, but it gives me anxiety for outside of the show. Like, outside of the episode, what would happen?
Oh, yeah, because I...
What would happen if someone just started giving away other gifts?
I mean, if it was a perfect... That's the thing, is it a perfect gift, but also... I could see someone, like, coming back and be like, excuse me, like, I do like the gift, but it was, can you also give me the $15 price difference?
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, that's where it gets, like, ugh.
Yeah.
That's why this, only try this in a sitcom.
Right. And I know it's not a real thing, but my brain always goes to, like, oh my gosh, what if?
What if? Also, the seven, there was carols. There were Christmas carols all over this. So I heard, Jingle Bells, Deck the Halls, Joy to the World, Oh Christmas Tree, Jingle Bell Rock, and Silent Night.
Yeah. And a fun rendition of Silent Night.
Oh, I love, yeah. So through my studying, I learned that Jingle Bells and Deck the Halls are the most popular Christmas carols to be featured in sitcom episodes.
Oh, I guess makes sense. That's there. I mean, I feel like that's across movies too.
Yeah, they're just everywhere.
My mom, when I was growing up, any time of the year, when she's doing something and her mind is on that and not thinking of anything else, she starts whistling fa la 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 la.
Oh wow!
Doesn't matter what time of year it is.
Oh, that's rough.
And
in a way.
And it was always kind of subtle and under her breath. And I was like, that is so weird. And I caught myself doing it.
No.
This last year, I would be doing like, as soon as my mind was on something and not focused on what I was doing, I could feel myself going, and I was like, no. Ugh.
I think it's because they're the two songs that are so easy to just start singing.
Yeah.
Because as soon as all a character has to say is, deck the halls with boughs of holly, and then every other character can immediately go follow. And then, like, it's a really good, like, there's comedic heightening to it,
yeah,
and stuff. It's fun.
And all those laws are very uncomfortable, therefore very funny to,
yeah,
say.
Well, there's a good joke in this episode where Mary's like, when Dick is in his Grinch phase, and Mary's like, can you come help us hang the boughs of holly? And he goes,
Dick, we need somebody tall to hang the boughs of holly.
Fa la 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 no.
I love that. So we talk about Santa believers. Trope number 9, last minute shopping. This episode is Tommy,
ugh,
doing some last minute shopping, which that happens in a lot of sitcom episodes, is a character discovers they need to buy something like ASAP on Christmas Eve.
Or like
Christmas
the
Eve.
Whole plot of, Jake Lloyd, Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way, yeah, it's trying
the
to find that.
Whole plot.
So that's his whole game, and he like goes and sits on Santa's lap and is again like, don't you have a list? Listen, like, he cuts him down by saying, like,
pork butt.
Jeesh.
Yeah. Listen here, pork butt. I need to know what to get her.
Yeah.
Don't you have a list or something?
And then the Santa gets angry.
Yeah.
And says,
what? Listen, pork butt, I need model number 2.
Get a haircut. You look like a girl.
Nowadays, it's like, okay, Santa, like, let's have a talk about, like, gender norms.
Yeah.
Being respectful of people's choices. Because Tommy likes his hair that
uh-huh.
way.
I've been watching a lot of things that have come out that came out in the 90s and early 2000s. And I'm like, that would not be made now. You could not make certain things.
That's me. A lot of Friends is just a lot of, like, men do this, women do that. And weirdly enough, I watch Home Improvement, and it has less of that than Friends does at times. And it's Home Improvement.
So crazy.
Which is, anyway, Home Improvement is fun. The 11th trope is cops and crime.
Oh.
Because a lot of Christmas episodes involve cops or people getting arrested.
Or kidnapped.
There's a lot of stuff. And this one has Dick going to find the perfect Christmas tree, where he says, like,
oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, that's Christmas tree in German.
But he cuts down to some rando's tree, the cops come, and then, like, that is what sends him into a later trope that we'll get to in a second. The 12th trope is carolers, because they're sitting on the roof. That's where Dick is, like, stewing.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting so angry.
They're all angry. Wrapped around their knees. And they're like, this holiday is stupid. Which is, I think that, I mean, you might have it too, but I feel like another trope that they have is the loving Christmas and then hating it.
Yeah.
And then going right back.
That is the 13th one. Someone's a Grinch.
Oh, good.
So yeah, 11, 12, and 13 are all kind of tied up. 11 cops and crime, 12 carolers, and 13 someone's a Grinch. Because they've all become Grinches, and Dick, like, starts taking all of the roof ornaments and chucking them at the carolers.
Oh, I love when he takes the head off.
Yeah.
He just pulls the head off, but he keeps the body under his arm. Like, why did he throw that, too?
But everyone else around him are looking at, they're looking at him like, that's too far.
Yeah.
Like, they're all kind of shocked.
Yeah.
Like, Dick is madder than everyone else.
And even Sally's like, whoa, relax.
Yeah. So the someone's a Grinch. We get to the Dick's, like, teaching scene.
Uh-huh.
And they're all, like, passing Christmas cookies around. I love the way that, like, Dick sees those cookies and then he just starts snapping them in half.
Uh-huh. Oh,
Karen made them.
Yeah, they're Christmas cookies.
Oh, how Christmassy. Yeah. All sparkly red and green. Oh, look. One of Santa's reindeer. Watch him fly.
And then he, like, smacks it against the, he throws it against the chalkboard. Can you imagine a teacher doing that in class? Like, that would be intense.
Yeah, I think that they would get in trouble.
Yeah. Dick would
they
be
would
out.
Get a lot of trouble.
Dick does, I bet Dick does not have tenure.
Yeah.
He's an alien. They haven't even been on Earth a year yet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, they would have a substitute for the rest of the year.
Yeah, he has to calm down.
Yeah. They'd be like, those weren't your cookies to throw?
So then he assigns all of them a 15-page typed, like, paper on...
I was like, a math paper?
Some, like, on physics. Like, some crazy physics. Yeah. Like, holy shit. And so, they're like, the next trope is 14, Christmas party. Because then we see finally to the Christmas party.
Yep.
So many great sitcom episodes involve a Christmas party. The Office has a Christmas party. That's really great.
That's the whole Jim and Pam, the whole
the
thing
teacup thing
starts to come together more.
So great.
Ugh.
So yeah, we finally see their Christmas party, and this is where we hear Jingle Bell Rock, because Nina is like, Christmas is the only time of year where I like white people music.
Uh-huh.
They're making eggnog, which eggnog is probably another trope, but I forgot to count it in the first like 10 I watched, and I was like, well, I'm not going to go back and rewatch. So
it's like an accessory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whatever.
It's like counting ham.
Yeah. Love me some ham.
Pineapple stuck to it, my dad.
So Dick is like even assigning Nina work. He's like, go retabulate all of my grades. And it's like, what the fuck? She's like Christmas Eve Eve.
Yeah. I wish that the one thing about this episode I would change is that the way she says Christmas Eve Eve, she was like, on Christmas Eve Eve, question mark. I wish she had said just like the guys in the classroom.
Yeah.
It's Christmas Eve Eve.
Yeah.
Just point blank, because that would have been an extra. I was like, oh, that would be so funny for her to be like, just like the kids. Like, hello.
It's Christmas Eve Eve.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
We all know this is a thing.
No one does anything Christmas Eve Eve.
She like even calls him a Scrooge, and he's totally Scrooging out. And he says,
who needs Christmas anyway? I say bug humbar.
You mean bah humbug.
Bah what?
You said bug humbar.
And?
Well, what does bug humbar mean?
Well, what does bah humbug mean?
Which I thought is pretty great. Bug humbar.
So, bug humbar.
It's like, well, you mean bah humbug. It's like, well, what does that mean? It's like, I don't know. It means the same thing as bug humbar.
Bug humbar is a name of someone in Star Wars.
Oh, definitely.
It has to
be. Yeah. But then what causes Dick's heart to melt?
A coffee cup.
Nina gives him a gift, and Dick is like, oh, you're my secret Santa. And Nina's like, no, I just like Christmas. Here you go, you jerk, basically.
Yeah.
And he opens it up, and it is a travel coffee mug.
Very 90s travel coffee mug.
Yeah,
that's
like
big base and the skinny
little
top.
It's like metallic
top.
Looking, yeah. And it's because like she's like, yeah, you spill, so you won't spill coffee in your pants every morning. He has this great like, you noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like both like tickled and there's a little bit of shame.
Yeah,
like, he's like, you've noticed.
Yeah. And it's so nice because it's like he just learned the meaning of Christmas is. A person gave him a gift that didn't have to give him a gift that he didn't ask for, but something that he needs that they notice.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the magic of Christmas.
Those are the best presents.
It's like, because she works with him every day.
Yeah.
And that's like, and that's where he finally learned, like, Grinch style, Christmas isn't about, you know, Miranda rights and chopping down trees and all that shit that he said.
Handcuffs and Miranda rights.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's where he, like, has this turnaround. The episode kind of ends before we get to the 15th trope. So, like, he has this, like, nice turnaround. He starts, like, the kids come in and they, like, hand him his papers. And he just throws them in the air and he's like, I'm not going to grade them.
And then they're excited about it. I'd be like, I just wrote a 15-page paper about... In like
3 or 4 hours, because they get them to me by 6. They all say they're sorry that they're late, so it might be like 7. And that their class is probably, I don't know, 10, 11 a.m. Like, they spent all Christmas Eve in a library. But then it makes me think, like, how hard is Dick's class? Because he says, I'm going to give you all C's.
Yeah.
And they all freak out, happy. And then he says C pluses, and they're like, over
yeah, this is the best.
Which to me in college, if a teacher had done that, I would be livid because I didn't make C pluses. Right. I made A's. So I'm like, Dick's class had to have been.
Yeah. Or he is teaching the remedials.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, this is the last class they need to graduate from their, like, they're doing something, some sort of major that needs a more difficult math.
Yeah.
And they just got stuck with this one because others were full.
In college, I mean, we had, like, my major, I was a TV production major, and we had, like, one math requirement, and so I, like, took algebra. Like, I didn't, I hate math, and I got all the way up to, like, pre-calculus in high school, and then I was like, I'm just fucking taking, I took, like, an algebra, I was like, I'm getting out of this.
Yeah.
Because, and I, like, got, like, hundreds on everything, just, like, get it out of the way.
I'm jealous. I took Introduction to Finite Math. And
that sounds terrifying.
The first day, it was Math 107. It was one of the easiest ones. The first first test I got a 90 on. I was like, cool. And I got consistently 30 points less on every single one. And I studied. I can't, my brain doesn't wrap around math. I went to all the study sessions. And when I went into the final to get a D in the class, I had to get an 89 on the test. And I knew it wasn't going to happen. So I did as much as I could, and then I immediately went home and I wrote an email to my teacher and attached a picture of my face on it. And I was like, hi, I need this to graduate. I don't do math. I'm a theater major. I need you to please do what you can. And he emailed me back, congratulations on your D. And I got a D. And that was like my fifth year of college, very last class
I took. Man.
And it was, even my graduation cards were like, Crystal passed math. I should have taken it freshman year. Well, I still had math in my brain.
God, no, yeah. I think I got it done pretty quick. So the last trope of the episode is a terrible gift. Because they finally, August and Tommy do their gift exchange. And he like bought her
everything.
A belt, cell phone, earrings. Like
perfume.
Yeah, everything. She got him an ornament that she made of a picture of the two of them.
Which is... honestly, a sweeter gift.
Sweeter, very sweet. At the beginning of the episode, though, she did sell it of, like, I got you a perfect gift.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, set him off on this, like, crazy tear, where she was like, I got you the perfect gift.
What you would say in a situation where you made something for them would be like, I'm excited to give you this present.
Yeah.
Something like that.
She set up some expectations.
Yeah. Perfect gift. That's not a perfect gift.
No.
It didn't even have an ornament string on it to hang it on the tree.
No, it was just like a trinket.
Yeah, and the only way and it had a round bottom. So the only way you'd be able to put it anywhere is face down, which is a picture of them, or it'd be, like, rolling everywhere.
Yeah.
It was a bad gift.
Yeah. What the hell? So then Tommy, like, is like, I got you such a great, like, blow you out of the water, which does not go over well.
No.
So, yeah, this was, like, really fun, super Christmassy episode with fucking 15 different tropes in it.
Oh,
so
good.
I would say, like, definitely watch this if you want to watch a Christmas episode. And also, this is the only one they ever did, because I feel like they just got it all out of the way.
Yep. They're right like, there. We can't do it again. We've already talked about everything. I'd give this episode a C. Yay!
You passed. C plus.
You passed. Good job. C plus, because it's Christmas.
Let's move on to some trivia. So the ratings for this week's episode, 19.2 million people watched this episode.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
In the week, where do you think that ranks? 19.2 million people watching an episode, 1996.
Third.
13th.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I might start trying to do this, because I feel like it's so... I have no grasp on what
I know.
Is...
I know, clearly I don't either.
Nowadays, ratings are so small because no one watches TV at the same time anymore. But, like, back then, it's like, this episode, 13th for the week, 19.2 million people watched it. The top five shows for the week were the entire Thursday night NBC lineup.
Really?
number five was Single Guy, four was Suddenly Susan, three was Friends, two Seinfeld, one ER.
Which is just so funny because those shows were like background noise to me.
Oh, wow. Up. Yeah. See, those were my shows.
That's so funny.
Because they remind me, like, we watched NBC every Thursday. So that was like our jam. But yeah, it's also crazy that like NBC is just like, we're going to rack up on Thursday.
Yeah.
Top five shows. Single Guy, Suddenly Susan, they're in the top five.
How is NBC now? For shows, do they?
I mean, they have The Voice.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't like, but like, their Thursday night right now, like, Will and Grace, the revival of that has done really well in the ratings.
Yeah.
So, like, that's great, because it's a really great revival.
Yeah, I love Will and Grace.
It's the funniest, like, it is as good as it was at the beginning of its run, which is kind of crazy.
Maybe it should be,
like, when a multicam sitcom starts dragging in season, like, five or so, they should be like, we'll see you in 11 years.
Yeah.
Just go for 11 years and then come back. And then do season six.
Yeah.
Because honestly, that like 11-year lull like woke them up and it's great. On IMDb, 196 users gave this episode an 8 out of 10. Would you go higher, lower, or right on the money with that?
I think I'd go right on the money with that. Maybe 8.5.
Yeah, I think like 8 sounds solid.
It didn't blow my mind, and the show didn't end and I was like, wow, I'm changed.
Yeah, which I feel like if you watch the other two Christmas episodes I've done so far, the Dick Van Dyke Show one and the Mary Tyler Moore Show one, both of those, I firmly believe anyone watches them, your life will be changed at Christmas time. They have less tropes, but they're full of the magic of Christmas. Whereas this one is kind of just like a joke machine, and it just runs through so many great Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's really good, but I think an 8 is fine.
Yeah.
So the professor names that Dick passes up are shout-outs to musicians. He says Professors Flansburg, Linnell, and Chilton. And Flansburg and Linnell are the two Johns of They Might Be Giants.
Oh.
Which seems totally on game for this show to name drop.
That's crazy.
And then Chilton, I am assuming they mean Alex Chilton, who I think is the lead singer of Big Star, a 70s rock band. If you like They Might Be Giants, you're also going to like Alex Chilton. And NBC's Sunday night lineup at this time was Third Rock from the Sun and then Boston Common.
Oh my God. Did you watch Boston Common? And that had the apple.
In the credits, there was a sepia apple at some point. That was Anthony Clark was like a Southern guy going up to Boston to go like, you know, because his little sister Paige was going to go to school and he didn't want her to go alone.
I haven't thought about that show in so long.
And then after you watch those two sitcoms, every Sunday night, NBC had a different movie of the week from like a movie. This week's was Lightning Jack. A movie starring Paul Hogan and Cuba Gooding Jr.
Wow.
So, find that. Who would you say had the must-see performance in this episode?
I think Dick.
Yeah. See, like, why do you say it?
Well, I'm torn because I think that Harry, he went through the most struggle just spiritually with all of this. I mean, mentally with all the Santas. But Dick... his physical comedy is on point.
Yeah.
His arc is insane through the whole thing. He gets so mad. He makes people feel awful for Christmas, but then his Christmas spirit comes back tenfold where he ends up bringing other people back up with him and everyone forgives him because that's what you do on Christmas.
Yeah.
And God, the Secret Santa scene when he eats the paper.
The childlike wonder of him is so good.
Yes.
And it's like, I want to give it to Sally because she was also great, and I want to give it to Harry. But it's like, Dick has the most to do in this episode.
Yeah.
It's very demanding, and it's just, he's really good in it.
He is.
So, must other people see this episode?
Must.
Yeah.
They must. Yeah.
I think if you're going to, like, you know, go to my flowchart.
It's so
Although
cool.
This one isn't on the flowchart, because the flowchart is specifically Hulu, and this is on Amazon. But still, go to the advent calendar and watch every episode of my advent calendar. But I think if you just want to get the most Christmas for your buck.
Yeah, and it's good, and it's really funny. I've watched it 3 times in the last 2 days, and I was still laughing just as hard the third time we watched it.
It moves through so much.
There's no lag time.
No, they, like, really get going.
Yeah.
I mean, even the end of it, they, like... the end of it is Harry's like, I don't know how Santa's gonna get down this chimney, because they have like this little pipe thing.
Yeah. And he's like, but he will, and then boops the little Santa on the nose. It's so cute.
Sally's like, Dick, do you ever think we'll truly understand humans? And then right then is like, silent night. Oh, they're like interrupted by the conga line, and they just conga.
And then they're you know, they get welcomed back in with the humans. Yeah. So they feel alienated, and then it's like, oh no, we're surrounded by all these people and the three Santas that we screamed in their faces.
Yeah,
I don't know how they got invited
Harry
there.
Just went back and like invited them, or it's like Miss Dubcheck is like hanging out with them probably.
Yeah, probably drinking at the bar.
Woo! So yeah, Gracie, thank you so much for coming out and talking about this Christmas episode.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people bother you online about Christmas?
Oh my gosh, bother me about Christmas on Twitter and Instagram at TheCrystalBeth. And then if you go to iTunes, you can look for The Fifth Element and Unlimited Lives Radio, two other podcasts I do.
Yes.
Brett was a guest on The Fifth Element, so
go back and listen to me.
Listen to him.
Talking about how much I love In Home.
Yep.
Handsome man. But yes, thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Crystal Beth, for dropping by and running the holiday gauntlet with me and talking about Third Rock from the Sun and Christmas. Next week, the Holiday Gauntlet 3-month odyssey concludes with a discussion of the Full House episode, our very first Christmas show. Our very first Christmas show is in Season 2 of Full House. It is Episode 9 of Season 2 of Full House, and you can stream that Full House Christmas episode on Hulu, or you can buy it in iTunes or Amazon. Until then, you can send your questions about sitcoms to me at musthaveseentv@gmail.com. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at musthaveseentv. If you like what you've heard, please, I beg you to rate and review Must Have Seen TV in iTunes. It would be an amazing Christmas gift that you give to me. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. You can read the words that I write at Decider.com, including a Decider sitcom Christmas advent calendar and a Holly Jolly Christmas episode flowchart that I probably discussed in this episode and next episode and all of these episodes. You can also check out my sitcom t-shirts and stickers at tpublic.com/user/Brett White. The theme song this week is, of course, Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Chipmunk Song, a.k.a. Christmas Don't Be Late, but that's not actually the title of the song, even though that's what everyone calls it. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast, thanks to all y'all for listening, and I'll see y'all next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.